The Hard Work Works fitness app. Overcome the holiday weight gain and get on track with your own personal trainer right at your fingertips.
The Hard Work Works fitness app works for all ability levels. Full gym, no problem. So what's included? You get over 200 workout plans available for every situation, from a full gym to no equipment at all. You also get access to a nutrition guide to keep you on track during the holiday season. All this for only $10 a month.
There's a special offer for Gear Freaks listeners. Use promo code STUPID.
Stupid?
Stupid.
And get December free.
The Hard Work Works fitness app. Decide, commit, succeed, and join the hustle today. I love Los Angeles. I love Hollywood. They're beautiful. Everybody's plastic, but I love plastic. I want to be plastic. That's Andy Warhol. I'm Justin, jersey number 14.
And I'm Corey, jersey number 72. Shout out to Andy Warhol for that gem. Who doesn't like plastic people? I mean, maybe not all plastic, just minimal plastic is usually ideal. But we have zero plastic today. Today we have nothing but elite swag coming down the pike for you, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have, despite coming from the land of plastic, the Los Angeles Lakers are on deck.
I am interested here because we're bringing Dennis on, and you may know Dennis. He's a stud. He is Lieutenant Commander Dennis Black and Asian from the world famous Dork Trek podcast. And Dennis, we're bringing on the first team that we actually hate.
Yes.
So you're coming in to defend a team that we hate. But it is impossible to argue that you guys have like elite level gear.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the invite, and definitely no plastic with the Lakers. All just championship gold.
Oh, it's true already, man. Right, right. Just chesty out of the gate.
Well, I mean, but I guess like to start right with championships, like last year. I mean, how do you not root for LeBron? Like, you know, some people.
It's apparently easy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. In the you know, hired gun way, but like, what a dude. Like, I'm a Suns fan, and we were like the best in the bubble. But we didn't make the playoffs. So like, when the Suns don't make the playoffs, I'm looking at the Lakers, I'm looking at like LeBron as a person, and I'm like, I gotta get on board. This is the one time I think ever in my life I'm cheering for the Lakers.
Yeah, it's kind of like, so last year with the Women's World Cup, I know this is soccer, but it's just stay with me for a second here.
So I'm with you, Corey might not be.
During the World Cup, there was like a big kerfuffle about social justice and stuff like that.
Yep.
And the captain, Megan Rapinoe, had like a Twitter war with our, you know, outgoing president.
Yeah.
And he basically told her, win something first and then talk. And so they went out and they won something. So she continued to talk. And a lot of the whole, you know, the NBA bubble was impacted greatly by a lot of the social justice stuff going on in the world as well. And it was kind of the same thing. People were telling LeBron, shut up and dribble, you know? And so he dribbled and then he talked because he could talk then.
Right.
The thing is, like, the NBA, for as awful as it was at one point, as far as like it wasn't very outspoken, and sure, it still has its issues, but I feel like they've let the players be, you know, they've let the players have voices, and especially now when the league is like kind of on the rise and you put it up against like the NFL, who's saying, no, you can't.
Right.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to applaud the NBA because it's still, you know, huge, giant corporation. But, like, we kind of need the players to be able to talk like that, don't we?
Yeah, I think, you know, so it's a legacy of David Stern. And the NBA players have kind of always been a reflection of society at large. Like, in the 80s, it was a lot about, you know, getting that money. Michael Jordan, you know, big sneaker deals, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you hit a rough patch in the late 90s and early 2000s because there really wasn't a good spokesperson for the league. At that point, you know, Kobe Bryant was probably one of the biggest stars and had the whole rape trial thing happen.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, there, you know, Allen Iverson, pound for pound, was the best player in the league, but his, you know, he turned a lot of people off. So there wasn't really a go-to person that could sell the NBA, but they still stuck with the model, you know, that the players were the product. And LeBron comes along 2006 and he's a guy, you know, clean cut that can, that says the right things and does the right things. And, you know, they hung in there. And when he started winning titles, the NBA started coming back.
Imagine that. Yeah, and then you put him in LA and suddenly the league is
a free agency. They didn't put him in LA. Come on.
Well,
conspiracy.
He ends up in LA. How about that? Exactly. And you know, suddenly, you know, the league is on the NFL's coattails. Yep. Like it's, they will, the NBA will surpass the NFL in our lifetime.
Yes.
If not within the next 5 to 10 years. Let's get to like the Lakers specifically here. I'm curious, how do you become a Lakers fan? Because like me, you're a Mets fan. I don't know where any of your other affiliations lie, but like how do you become, because most Mets fans are Knicks fans. How do you become a Lakers fan?
Well, the Lakers were the first team that I was a fan of. And I became a fan by watching basketball with my dad. Something I didn't know at the time, because I was like 4 or 5 when I started watching basketball with him, was that he's a Fairweather fan. And so I just thought the Lakers were our team. So all throughout the 80s, you know, I was rooting for the Lakers. And then suddenly my dad becomes a Bulls fan. I was like, what are you doing?
No,
we're Laker fans. So wow. I never, you know, I've stayed committed since then. It was easy, of course. When you have a team that's great when you're a kid, it's, you never really...
Oh yeah,
yeah, it helps.
Bandwagon.
You won all your champion, like, because for the Lakers, like it, I hate them because they've been in my way,
right?
But like you look at like the Showtime Lakers, and you know you had some down years in the 90s, but in the early 90s they were in finals and they were back in the finals by the end of the 90s. Like
right.
You talk about down years, it was like 4.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
I think the 90s is the only decade of the NBA's existence that the Lakers did not win a title. So, and in most decades, they won multiple titles.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, because what they ran up against the Bulls and the Pistons early, and then I don't think they got back until Kobe came to town.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So like 99, 2000.
Shaq and Phil Jackson, the three.
Yeah, Vlade Divac couldn't do it for us.
I was thinking, because we made trades with y'all. Y'all had, we got Cedric Ceballos from y'all. So like he was your guy for a minute.
Wasn't it the other way around?
Maybe.
I thought he came from Phoenix to L.A.
Possibly.
A.C. Green, I think, was in there too.
That may have been
the agent deal. Green played in the 80s, and then he hung around for the 90s for a little bit. But
okay.
He was already old and still not having sex by then.
So. That may have been the deal, though. Like, I think we might have dealt Ceballos to y'all for A.C. Green.
That's, oh, yeah, that might be true.
That's a quality trade on Phoenix's part. So, I mean, let's get to the gear, though, because, seriously... as much as I hate the Lakers, I picked them as one of, I think they were number 2 on my top 10. Like that, the Lakers purple and gold is practically undefeated. Like it is some of the best gear in the history of sports. So where do your allegiances lie as far as Lakers gear? Like what's your favorite Lakers gear?
I think the gold jerseys with the purple lettering and numbers. Mm-hmm. I think that's my favorite because I can just see it. You know, Magic Johnson going down the court, no look passing to James Worthy, and him dunking on fools. So I mean, that's what I see in my head. Of course, the purple ones are nice too, but just that gold uniform, it's flashy. It gets your attention just like the Showtime Lakers were. So I think when they're at their best, they're in their gold and they're flying down court and, you know, scoring on the fast break.
Right.
And yeah. Like, again, you hate this because Kobe comes around and him and Shaq lift the team back into the finals. They lift the trophy again for the first time, you know, since whatever, 88, 89. And I don't know, man. Like, so as a kid, you're getting spoiled with all these championships. What is it like to go through those 90s years, and then consequently when Kobe and Shaq come to town, how does it feel, the redemption of getting back there?
You know, so I was in high school for most of the time that they were really bad, so I had other distractions to focus on. You know, it wasn't as a big a part of my life at that point. And I don't know if it was one having to do with the other. You know, they weren't so good, so I didn't pay that much attention to them. But
right.
I made it through those like 4 or 5 years until they drafted Kobe. And, you know, by then I was in college. And once they started lifting those titles again, God, I was an adult. And it was great.
So how different is the league? The Lakers and the league, if they don't make that trade, they don't trade Divots off to Charlotte and for Kobe Bryant. Like, how do you see it going? Like, how long do you think it takes before the Lakers lift the trophy again?
You know, Jerry West is such a great GM, and he kind of proved it when he went to Memphis too. Like, he just knows how to build teams and find winners. So even if Charlotte hadn't gone for that trade, he would have found something else. You know, he would have found another piece to go with Shaq and to fit Phil Jackson's system of the triangle offense to make it work. So I think they would have been all right. Obviously, you know, Kobe's one of the greatest players ever, regardless of how people feel about him, you know, on or off the court. He's just one of the best. And you really can't go wrong with a player like that. But I think Jerry West would have found a solution somewhere.
Well, and when they pick up Shaq, we're talking like this is like Shaq
Prime
Diesel.
Shaq.
This is Shaq can put a team on his back and take them. Like, he could have.
He can still jump a little bit.
Yeah. Like, honestly, that Lakers squad, like when Shaq and Kobe, like Kobe was still kind of like number two.
Right.
And up until they run into that Pistons squad, I thought we were looking at Lakers championships for like forever. Like, I didn't think it was ever going to come to an end.
Yeah.
So when a team like that Pistons squad puts you all to seven, like, do you think, oh shoot, it's an end of an era, I have to go through rebuilding again? Or do you think, you know what, we're the Lakers, it'll be no time flat before we're back up and running?
You know, it always kind of feels like with the Lakers that they're going to figure it out. Because everybody wants to play there, you know, regardless of where the players come from in the country, you know, Chicago, New York, wherever, they all eventually want to play for the Lakers or the Celtics because it's the two premier franchises of the league, of the association. So it's such an easy sell when it comes time for free agency. Hey, you want to go to the Lakers? You want to go to Minnesota? You know,
yeah. I mean, which sucks because there is a fault in the league. But I also see, again, you know, Phoenix is a great example. Phoenix has built a nice young team that, you know, but the problem becomes that big first free agency. Mm-hmm. Can you keep them? Like, does Book stay there? Like, I don't think, was it, what, did LeBron come after? No, it wasn't. I think it was it may have been Shaq who said Book has to leave there. He has to get out of Phoenix on his next contract. And it's like, but I think number one, the Lakers and the Suns is a long forgotten rivalry.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it, but like those early to mid 2000s feuds with y'all. Oh my God. Like that is like, that is the reason I can't get the Lakers out of my head. Like, I can't get the Lakers out of my way because so many times we were the best team in the league and we should have gone to the finals. We had like the
Nash and Amari years.
Yeah, like Rajah Bell was like the only dude in the league who could lock down Kobe. And it's well, I mean, as much
relatively
as right. Yeah, that's what I mean, like relatively.
Slow them down.
20 instead of 30, you know? But, you know, it's like we should have won at least a championship, but the Lakers were always in the way. Well, the Spurs the one time, but
right.
also Tim Donaghy. So that's a whole nother story.
Right, right.
But so the Lakers are, you know, my hated rival. I don't know how you feel about Phoenix. If Phoenix isn't the Lakers' biggest rival, who do you consider y'all's biggest rival?
Well, I mean, I think without question it's the Boston Celtics. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
They owned the Lakers in the 60s. It was ridiculous, you know, seeing them every year in the finals and then having to finish second every time, except once, I think. You know, they were just, the Celtics were so unbeatable. They were the first, like, true dynasty in professional mm-hmm. sports, it seems like.
Yeah.
But, and like I said, in the 80s when I was a kid, I was watching, and the Celtics were kind of the big rivalry at that point, too. I kind of just feel like the NBA is more fun to watch when the Lakers and Celtics are both good.
True.
Not necessarily the best teams. They don't have to both be the best teams, but when they're good, then it's just more interesting because mm-hmm. there's always a chance they can meet in the finals, and then it's another, you know, which one of these legendary franchises is going to walk away with the championship again.
Well, like, what was it? When the Celts bring in Garnett and them, and that brought me back to, well, I was there because of the Suns, but like I was fading because like the Suns kept getting bounced. But like when the Boston trio meets up with the Lakers in the final, I'm like, I hate both of these teams, but like at the same time, yo.
Yeah, as a fan.
This is happening. It's Boston and Lakers in like whatever year it was, 2010 or long ago.
And both squads were gross.
Yeah. And I think didn't it happen back to back? Like they took the first one and then y'all took the second one. And like as much as I wanted to hate that, it was good for the league. And ever since, basketball's been back on my radar.
Yeah. Although I will say that Celtics team, those players, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, everybody, they talk like they won 5 championships.
Yeah,
I know,
do.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you guys won one title. Shut up.
Yes, one.
They get a lot of mileage off of that, man. Yeah. They do.
Well, you crapped your pants, Paul Pierce.
Well, I mean, what sucked is I think like the Bruins won a cup right around then.
Yep.
And of course the Patriots. So it was like Boston was, we're Boston. It's like, oh man, shut up.
Yeah.
Only Boston could make me like Los Angeles.
Right, dude, right? Right? It somehow makes him more likable. So I got to ask Dennis, toward the end of, we talk about lulls in the Lakers as being a Lakers fan, there certainly weren't many. And it's kind of hard to look at this now with the benefit of hindsight, obviously, given, you know, what happened to Kobe last year. But when you guys kind of toward the end of Kobe's run or his career and you guys were, you know, paying him money to keep him around, things of that nature, but the team wasn't nearly as relevant as they normally were in terms of winning and would be again. Where were you at in there? Would you have rather, you know, obviously you don't want to jettison a guy like Kobe, but, you know, if you could take yourself back to that time, where were you at during that era when Kobe was, you know, they were giving him the send-off that they wanted to give him, but the team wasn't racking up W's the way you'd want them to?
You know, I was always that deluded fan who thought, oh, Kobe's going to come back from that Achilles injury, and he's gonna start scoring 40 a game again, you know, not realizing he's in his 30s. And even though he was still pretty great when he came back, he was nowhere near what he was before. But there was always these flashes where I think they were playing New Orleans in the playoffs that next year or something. And then he had a dunk in the lane that was just phenomenal. I was like, oh, he's back. But, you know, it never really panned out. But the Lakers have this, you know, with like Magic Johnson, there's just these franchise guys that you got to have to stick around forever. And, you know, Magic was that way. And Kobe was that way. And it makes them icons in the franchise. And if Kobe could stick around after Shaq left in those years, mm-hmm. then
right.
we might as well, you know, fly the plane into the mountain. Oh, I guess that's not a good.
Oh, jeez. No. I did not expect such a thing from you, sir.
Sorry.
Well, what's funny is like, so I was team Shaq when they break that up. Shaq goes off to Miami And I'm like, you know, he goes and gets one, and Kobe can't get back. But I can't lie, when Kobe does bring them back, I'm like, was the first one Oklahoma City, Orlando, or I mean, they beat some duds.
I think it was Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, wouldn't have been Oklahoma City. It would have been Orlando.
I think that was the Orlando one.
Yeah, Dwight Howard.
Yeah, Dwight Howard put him on the bat. you know, good for him. But I mean, like, still, like, he goes, fine, get this guy out of here, and puts the team on his back.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, again, say what you want about choices he made when he was younger.
Right.
Hell of a ball player.
Yep.
Hell of a damn ball player. And I think he redeemed himself from what he did. You know, you can never forgive something like that.
Right.
But I think he redeemed himself.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the same thing with Michael Jordan. Like, kind of a shitty teammate, a degenerate gambler, but, you know, the greatness makes everybody forget about it at some point.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I got to ask you, Dennis, as a Sixers fan here, so what if I wanted to be a douchebag, considering that –
Well, you're already a Sixers.
I know, right? I'm just trying to completely check the box here. So if somebody goes, hey, look, two of those rings that Kobe got were against that shitty Sixers team that had AI and a bunch of dudes like Eric Snow and Tyrone Hill and Aaron McKee.
I think we just faced you guys one time in the finals.
Yeah, but then there was that terrible Dwight Howard Orlando Magic team with Courtney Lee and Jameer Nelson and things like that. Like, if hammered guy in the bar who's had one too many came up to you, if you got a Lakers hat on, and goes, hey, with those two rings, what would you give him the business, or would you would you entertain it a bit?
I mean, it's hardly the Lakers' fault that the Eastern Conference was just garbage.
That's true.
Honestly,
that's true.
Though, like, the Lakers still had to get through the Spurs. They had to get through the Sacramento Kings, who were pretty good.
Yeah. And
there was always other great teams in the West that they had to get through to make it to the finals. So
notice
in those
he didn't
years when
Phoenix.
It wasn't the Boston Celtics, you know, so what?
Yeah,
there was
yeah.
no good teams out East for them to play.
Yeah,
certainly not the Knicks.
Oh God!
Right. Yeah, they've been trying to find it for 50 years now. Christ! But you mentioned Christ Almighty, I'm having a brain fart. Fuck!
Trying to follow your pick up on your thread.
I was, and it just escaped me. I should be better than this. I just fucking had it, and it escaped me. God damn it!
Well, so. I mean, to your point, Dennis, the West at that, the West even still really is where it's at. So you guys ran into the Kings a lot. You ran into the Suns. How dare you, sir? Yeah.
Mavs.
The Mavs.
Or, you know, with Steve Nash too, still.
Yeah, yeah. Like that Mavs squad was really good.
Yeah.
But that was always kind of like the de facto championship series, the Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
Who would you say, so obviously over history, the Celts are like the Lakers' greatest, but in more recent history, who would you say the Lakers' greatest rivals are? Like if a team comes up on the schedule, you go, ooh, I hate those guys.
I mean, I guess for the last couple of seasons, it'd be the Clippers. Just
okay.
Because they've kind of loaded up and they think they're really good.
They're still the Clippers.
Right.
They're not. You gotta win something first.
Yeah. Always gonna be the little brother. That's where I was gonna go, was those Kings series.
Aha.
And when you said the West and Sacramento, I went, oh man. How did I, like, I just had that thought. And, you know.
Well, those Kings teams, talk about Vlade Divac again.
Right.
But he had
they
nothing.
Were good, man. Those Kings teams weren't.
Yeah,
good.
They were.
What is it, like
Stojakovic,
Bibby,
Weber.
Webb. Yeah.
Yep. White Chocolate.
Yeah.
Jason Williams. He was good. That was my man's.
I'll never forget Peja Stojakovic when he got drafted. Like, he put on they all put on the baseball cap of the team they got drafted to.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like such a dweeb. I was like, oh, man, I can't believe they drafted this guy. And then he started playing. I was like, oh, my God. I thought we didn't draft that guy.
That guy from the three. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we are. Since we're talking about threes, one of the players I hate the most Big Shot Bob.
Yep.
I don't.
Hit him?
How can I hate him? How many times did he beat me?
Thought he can hit shots that nobody else seems to be able to make.
Because we had him and he didn't do shit when he was a son. We got him from Houston, I think. So he's Big Shot Bob for Houston. We get him for Barkley. And then he does nothing for Phoenix. And then he goes to San Antonio, wins clutch shots. He goes to y'all, hits clutch shots. What the hell? Like, the only place he didn't do anything was Phoenix. But I got to give him...
That's the curse of Barkley right there.
Yeah, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. Because we had, what, one good season with Barkley? I mean, they went to the finals.
Right.
Pushed Jordan to six games.
Yeah.
But
I don't lie. Like, I always kind of rooted for the Suns whenever the Lakers weren't doing well. Like, you guys had a fun team with Dan Majerle and Tom Chambers and
Thunder Dan,
Thunder Dan,
Jeff Hornacek, KJ. Like, it was a fun team to watch.
They were, and pretty much throughout history, because, you know, I keep coming back to, we were your all's rivals, damn it. Dennis will never admit it.
Right. No,
but like that.
Yes, and I got to tell you, Lakers are everybody's rival.
That's true. That
Not
is true.
Everybody is the Lakers' rival.
Also true, unfortunately.
That's true.
But like that Suns team that kept running into the Lakers, like, oh my God, that team was fun to watch. Leandro Barbosa off the bench.
Yeah, dude.
I love that dude because he would get after it. Like, he was a great defender, and we didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot of those.
I think you got Trevor Ariza from you guys, too, right?
Yep. There's another guy. Like, didn't do jack for us. Went elsewhere, and it's like, all right, cool. Thanks, man.
Now.
Boris Dia.
Oh, yeah.
From Sean Marion, too. Like, oh, my God. Like, that squad should have won a championship, but I digress. Phoenix will be another day.
They were all too distracted with Sean Marion shooting form.
He did have weird. I mean, he would hit, like,
right.
You know, I think he.
How?
It just looked bizarre.
Know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he did.
It reminded me of what's his name? Bill Cartwright from the Bulls.
Oh, my God.
He would always, like, cock from the side before he shot. I was like, how can you not block that? He's like telegraphing his shot every time.
There was a dude I went to middle school with, Jason Willey. He shot like that. And, like, I was like, I mean, he was on my team, so I was like, whatever. But, like, I'm like, why are you shooting?
How?
Like, how? Like, what is happening here? Of course, I was mounting around a rebound, so I couldn't shoot for shit. But, like, I was Rodman up in there, like,
right,
just grabbing boards.
Did you have the sweatband?
No, I didn't, but I did have sweatpants. I definitely wore sweatpants on the court. But speaking of Rodman had, like, a breath there in Los Angeles when Rodman comes over, like, basically towards the end of his career. Like, is that a coup for you? Because I think that's somewhere around the time where, like, they're trying to buy the championship, which is...
That happened with, like, the glove, too.
Yeah, like, the glove and Karl Malone. Like,
yeah.
They all...
Yeah, then they were... Those guys were hunting for a championship because they're like, how can we lose with Shaq and Kobe? They've won the last three titles. We're going to come here on one-year contracts, and it's going to be easy. And it wasn't easy.
You know, it's funny.
I mean, they made it to the finals,
right?
Which is still great, but you know.
Well, what's funny is, you know, as I'm saying that, like, other than bringing in Shaq and obviously now LeBron, like, I think the Lakers actually build to their chance. Like, it's hard to hate on them too much because they actually do build to their championships.
Yeah.
I mean, they might bring in
current roster excluded. I mean, they traded for AD and they signed LeBron.
Right.
Agency. There's really not a homegrown star with the Lakers right now.
Which,
like, Kyle Kuzma, you know.
But yeah,
not
but
you, that important for the team right now.
Yeah, but you can say that about anybody in the NBA now, to a degree. I mean, you know.
I mean, if the Bucks end up winning with Antetokounmpo, then,
yeah,
you know, he's a homegrown guy, and apparently he's going to stay there forever. So,
oh,
right.
I hope so. Like, I don't know. I'm unless he goes to New York.
I think didn't he sign an extension?
He did. I think 5 years, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
But he's not going anywhere.
But so I brought up the Knicks, and that's the second time they've come up in this conversation. So we have to talk about New York. You talked about when New York, or I'm sorry, when Boston and Los Angeles are at each other's throats, when they're both really good, the league is better. Isn't it always better too when the Knicks are at least good,
viable, quasi?
I miss
Carmelo Anthony was there, and they were pretty good. And Amari Stoudemire. I mean,
I know
they had a pretty good team. They couldn't win it all, but they were still fun to watch.
Yeah,
I want the Knicks to be good so bad, but they are such a disaster, and like in their office, and it's just like,
yeah, they can't get out of their own way. That's Dolan, man.
The league could be next level if you have New York.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think they're trying to fill the void with the Nets, you know, with the star power Jay-Z and whatnot, but I can't name any of the Nets players. I don't know who's there anymore.
I mean, Kevin Durant and Kyrie,
yeah.
Oh, okay. That shows you how plugged into the league
but
I am.
That's just recent.
They got there this year.
Yeah, oh, okay. And it's not the homegrown deal. You know, they threw money at him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, okay. Still, Kyrie's a guy like he was mega important to LeBron in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But I still don't think, especially since leaving Cleveland, when he was the guy in Cleveland, he didn't do what he could have done. And then since leaving Cleveland, he still hasn't been the player that he could be.
Yeah. Well,
winning that title in Cleveland gave him the confidence to be the weirdo that he is.
Yes.
Just turned off his teammates. He turned off his teammates in Cleveland and in Boston. And give it a minute. It'll probably start turning people off in Brooklyn, too.
Yeah, well, he can ball his ass off, but when he gets going on his flat earth shit.
Great. Yeah. I'm a Duke fan, so I was Team Kyrie when he got drafted, even though he only played 8 games for the Blue Devils.
Yep.
You know, he's a great player. He's just kind of out there.
Well, you know, and Rodman's another one of those guys, like, couldn't get out of his own way. Meta world peace. Couldn't get out of his own way. But
I don't know, man. Meta got some rings with the Lakers too.
He did.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And I don't care what anybody says. If somebody throws a cup of beer on me, it's probably going to be a fight.
Oh, agreed.
If I'm Ron Artest in that moment, like, how does he not go beat that guy's ass?
Agreed. Him and Steven Jackson. I mean, to me, it's just, you know, there's I get you can say the malice shouldn't have happened, maybe, but at the same time, maybe drunk dudes shouldn't throw shit at fucking players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
The funny thing about that is he went and beat the wrong guy.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
He was for a moment there trying to be Rodman. But Rodman who could score as well.
Right.
But you look at like the long list, like now that we're laying it out like that, you had your Rodmans, you had your Malones, you had your Paytons, you had your Metal World pieces. Although again, like you pointed out, he got some rings. Is there a player that you look back at and you're like, man, why did we get him?
Smush Parker?
Yeah, I guess for every major talent that you guys signed, there's plenty of duds.
There's always a Smush Parker in there somewhere.
Right. I remember the Dwight Howard and Steve Nash thing. I don't think that worked out super well either from what I remember. Cause then they came in the same offseason, didn't they? That was when Kobe was still there.
Yep.
Yeah, but Kobe was still a little hurting, and Dwight wasn't 100% at that point either.
Right. Yeah, he fell off so quick. I think
unfairly, people expected Dwight Howard to come in there and start wrecking shop, but it's, you know, it was a star-crossed time. Like, I thought they were going to win the championship when they traded for him midseason, and just didn't work out, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Came back and he won the title with him last year, so it's fine.
Right. Well, he's one of those dudes people still get geeked up about. Like, Sixers fans were kind of giddy when we brought him in. It's like, I mean, really, what are you, the hell is this, 10 years ago? What do you think this dude's going to do?
If you only need him to come in for like 14 to 15 minutes in a game and just work his ass off, he'll do it, and he'll be great at it.
See, you listen to Dennis, and it's like, this is a guy who knows his team is going to, it's going to win eventually again.
Yeah, right.
If
must be nice.
I have a lot of history on my side.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Phoenix and Philly fan over here, we're like, we got to win now.
Right.
uh, I think
if Phoenix wins the title, it's gonna be a torrential downpour in Arizona, like for a month, because it's just so it'll transform things in that state so much for them to win a title. I think,
I think this team can. They have a lot of heart, but like I look at some, I don't know, man. Like I haven't
Chris
been
Paul
able
there right now.
Yeah, dude, and I mean. Okay. And he doesn't have to be the guy either, because Book's right. The guy.
Yep.
So, like, he gets to play second fiddle, and hot damn does he play second fiddle really fucking well.
Yeah.
And then in the interim, you got guys like Ayton. They're coming up huge. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love seeing what this team is doing. But then I watch them, like, choke away, like, big leads and end up in overtime against the Pistons. And I'm like, oh, why is this happening? Don't do this. And then, like, not being able to put teams away, like, that bothers me. Because that's, when it comes to playoffs, you got to be able to put teams away.
Yep.
I think that, you know, I mean, we're obviously talking about the Lakers. So last season, the bubble kind of showed that they just had that extra gear to put a team away. You know, every series they played in, there was that game of hope that Portland had, that Denver had. You know, they all the teams they played against had that game of hope where they're like, oh, you know, we've evened up the series, or we've got momentum going our way. And then the Lakers just like, no. And they put them back in their place. And in the aftermath, excuse me, when you look back at it, it's going to look like, okay, they won the first series 4-1. Second series 4-1, third series 4-1, championship 4-2. It looks like it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even though there were some tenuous moments along the way. But I mean, teams that end up winning the title, they just have to do it and have to do it for the, you know, for 16 games.
At least.
Right.
And yeah. So to stay on the current team, like talking about LeBron, like it's easy to say, oh, hired gun, oh, you know, they bring in LeBron, give him money, they bought this championship. But when you're buying LeBron, when you bring in a LeBron, you're bringing, like, that dude has a lot of mileage on him. I think that gets lost in the shuffle, like how many finals in a row he went to. And you're talking about, again, 16 at minimum 16 games tacked on to every season in the league. And how long do you think, because at this point, this has got to be his final stop, right? Like,
let's hope.
I mean, if you're in Los Angeles, this is the
one.
He's
going to go to the Knicks and
I don't
then
know.
He will be legendary for sure.
I know, right?
There'll be no more questions of him or MJ. He'll be like, no, LeBron. He won in New York.
But
at 40.
Do you think he has enough gas in the tank to get you guys there again? Like, do you think this was
for this year
or like, how long do you think he has in him, like, as a Laker specifically?
I mean, I think he's got two more years on his contract, so we'll see. But I mean, Anthony Davis can make a lot of people feel a lot younger, you know.
When
you've got that guy who can pretty much do anything, you know, you don't have to be on the floor as much to stay in games, so that LeBron can come back in those key moments and, you know, turn the tide for the team. It's kind of a nice thing to have. It's a good pairing, the two of them together. So, you know, Anthony Davis is going to be there for a few more years.
Yeah,
it might be tempting enough for LeBron to say, you know what, why not take a couple more easy championships and try to get to six?
That's what I was saying. Do you think who if you looking at the Western Conference this year, who is there a team that sticks out that worries you, that you think would get in your way potentially? And do you think LeBron does ultimately get to six and catch Jordan?
You know, I thought the bubble was kind of hard to predict because it was such a weird situation. A lot of teams that were playing well before the bubble came in the bubble and really kind of collapsed just because it's such a different environment.
Right.
I think this season still has a lot of that unpredictability to it, just because, you know, what's going to happen when a team can only field seven players? Like, I think didn't
Sixers
just recently have to like eight people on their bench.
Saturday night played seven dudes, had seven dudes on the, and yeah, eight as well. So, yep.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean, you go through stretches like that and it's really going to hurt some momentum that a team can build if they're trying to stay in the playoff hunt, or if it happens in the playoffs or something, you know, it's going to, it's just going to change things so much. So I don't, you know, it's hard to predict. Right now, I would say, obviously, you know, the Clippers are, when you just look at rosters and how they're performing so far, the Clippers and the Suns are right there. And I just said the Suns to make you feel better, Justin.
Well, it's funny you said that, because literally as you said that, I just got a notification from the Suns app and we're getting smoked by the Bullet or the Wiz. Sorry.
We're down to Atlanta right now, so.
104 to 78 at the end of the third.
Jesus.
Getting smoked.
Bradley Beal's going off on you?
Right.
Yep.
Good God.
This is what I get for paying attention / not paying attention. All right. So this year, the City Editions, I love the City Editions. I love, but man, let me get your thoughts on y'all City Editions first.
It's not good.
Okay, good.
I mean, like when you look at, so the Clippers and the Lakers are from the same city, right?
Mm-hmm.
They play in the same arena,
mm-hmm.
but it's like the Clippers were like, oh, we need to come up with a good design for our City Edition. And Lakers were like, just like put our letterhead on it and make it look faded, you know, like a old piece of paper or something like that. And we're done. So I don't think, you know, the Lakers front office isn't thinking too much about third jerseys or any of these promotional kind of things. They're just like, you know what? People are going to know we're the Lakers when they see that purple and gold coming. So
damn it.
We'll do these things every now and then, but
who gives a shit what we wear?
jersey for them. Like the Clippers have pretty much embraced it.
Yeah.
That's, they wear like that. I don't know how to describe it, but like Death Row Records writing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
That's their identity now with this new group of players and everything. So that's fine, you know, because I wouldn't want the old Clippers iconography following me around either. So I might as well come up with something new.
Yeah.
But the Lakers are always going to be the Lakers. It's like when it comes down to it, they're going to be purple and gold. So
it is hard because you have iconic gear.
Yeah.
It's legendary. It is top tier. Like I said, it's my second favorite of all time, no matter how much I hate the squad. Second favorite of all time. Purple and gold is unbeatable. It is unbeatable.
It's tough to beat, man.
So, like, you know,
if Jerry Buss could have his way, it'd be crushed velvet.
I'd be into it.
Right.
But yes, pretty much the only bad gear in the locker, other than the City Editions this year, is like the old Minneapolis Lakers, like
the blues.
Yeah, like the powder blue with the white.
Yeah.
Not a big fan. But what
are you going to do about it? I mean, it's the throwback jersey, so you can't really. The only other thing they could have done is like in the 80s and 70s and 80s, they had the purple and gold, but the Lakers was kind of at an angle.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't straight across the chest. But I guess that's too close to the current jersey. But yeah, I don't know. Like those, when you have such an iconic look, then it doesn't really matter that much these marketing ploys.
That all you lesser teams worry about.
It's great when you're a mid-market, you know, team like the Timberwolves or the Habs or something, and you
Memphis.
Come up with a cool jersey that people will want to wear because they're not really fans of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're the Lakers, people don't really want to buy these alternative jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get the real deal. I mean, if they already have like 20 of the purple and gold, then yeah, sure, I'll buy one just for, okay, this is the extra one they had that year or whatever. But it's not, you wouldn't look at it and say, oh, that's the Lakers, or that reminds me of Los Angeles. It's just kind of there.
Do you think the Lakers look is, now look, obviously undisputably awesome. Do you think it's elevated because you guys have the history that you do, or do you think it would be viewed the same way if, you know, you had a couple titles, but you guys weren't, you know, right up there with the Celtics in terms of premier organizations in the NBA.
You know, I think it's just a good look.
Yeah.
And just to kind of prove my point, the Knicks have really nice jerseys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the orange, blue, and white, and it's just a good look. The way it's put together and everything, it's a really nice jersey. And they haven't been great. So, yeah. So you can look at it, yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, that's definitely the Knicks. I like that look.
Yeah. Know,
it's good. It wasn't like the teams that came out in the 90s and everything had to be teal. you know, all these alternative colors to stand out.
Right.
Because, like, what are – I feel like I'm picking on the Timberwolves, but – like when you think of the Timberwolves, there's 10 different jersey designs that you can think of almost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have that iconic look that is established with their franchise. And the older teams like the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Knicks, you know, the Sixers, they do. You kind of know when you see them. It's like, okay, yeah. Except like that look. It's time tested.
The
wavies for Philadelphia. But like, no, it's funny you bring up the Wolves. I think about, so you have the Leitners, like the straight where it was just Wolves, and then Garnett comes in, and then they go into that, it's Timberwolves across the chest, and then they rocked those forever.
A while.
And then I think there might have been, you know, one or two others, and then now they have whatever the hell.
I hate their shit they wear now.
Not like what they're wearing now.
No, it's awful.
I applaud them for going out on the limb.
Yeah, but the
trying
limbs,
something different, finally
the
changing.
Limb's broken, change
but it's
it.
It's not good.
Right, right.
Especially when like their city, the Prince City editions are some of the best uniforms I've ever seen in my life,
dude.
So before we let you go, Dennis, like we're coming up on an hour here almost already. Let's talk about your gear specifically. What is your most prized Lakers possession?
I've got a Magic Johnson.
Oh,
jersey.
Okay.
It's great.
Man, jealous.
I'm not really a gear collector, okay, to be honest with you. I used to wear baseball caps a lot when I was in high school and college. And so I would have, you know, my Mets cap, and I to be honest with you, Lakers don't have good headgear. And I don't know if it's just like the color, the purple doesn't look good as a hat or whatever. Like there's one that's all purple with the Lakers in gold across the top, and that one looks okay. But for the most part, the other ones just doesn't look good. And I can't really think of too many NBA teams that really have good baseball caps.
Yeah.
But the Lakers definitely don't. So I didn't really have, I think I had like one Lakers hat. But the jersey I actually have is from Justin, you know Ben Kent, right?
Yes, yeah.
He actually gave it to me when the Lakers beat the Celtics that year in the finals.
Nice.
And I wasn't expecting it, but it's a treasured possession nonetheless.
I'd imagine so. So if you were jersey guy, is there a player throughout the course of obviously sans Magic Johnson that you wish you had? Like, and actually let's take the stars out of it. No Kobe's, no Shaq's, no Worthy's, you know. It's, I'm talking like a sixth player. Like
Nick Van Exel.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it won't be Nick Van Exel. I mean, he was good and all that, but you know, it's just not a good time for the Lakers. Not his fault, just they weren't a good team.
Yeah. Eldon Campbell.
Geez. You know, Alex Caruso, maybe? I don't know. I like that guy. He's a good player.
I had to, because I mean, there's so many star players like in Lakers history. You gotta strip it down.
You gotta explore.
I'm not joking, though. Alex Caruso is a really good player. He was an important part of their team last year.
Well,
you guys have no idea who I'm talking about.
Nope.
I was gonna say, to be honest with you, the name does not. Okay.
The white guy.
That dude.
Yeah.
Well, Dennis, I think it's about that time to wrap it up. Thank you so much for coming in chatting Lakers with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I definitely appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Have a great night, friend.
All right, brother.
And ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Black and Asian talking Lakers with us. I think we were nice considering, well, look.
We didn't go after him too much.
But we couldn't.
Well, when he keeps going, look, all we do is win, basically. Yeah. It's like, when you're a Sixers and a Suns fan, what are we going to say, man?
God bless him.
What are we? Yeah, I mean, enjoy your awesome.
You know what's is like he didn't even have to go on the tack either.
No, he didn't. He just, hey, look at all the banners.
And it's like, damn it.
Like, right. And now, like, we're disarmed.
Yep.
Like, we can't even, like, what are we going to pull out the hatred after he just...
Hey, look
in the rafters.
Scoreboard.
Right, you know?
Damn it.
Okay.
Especially when I made it a point to go, you guys were in our way, and he's right. Like, yeah, well, yeah, you were never in ours.
Right. You know whose way we weren't? Like, we were in everybody's way. It wasn't just exclusive to you, but Phoenix.
It is hard to, you can't argue that the Lakers have, like, elite level gear.
Oh,
like,
100%.
We've made mention a million times of how we're not basketball gear guys, like... Yeah. I wish I was basketball jersey guy because there's so many that I'd purchase right now.
Dude.
But I can't because I'm not.
I know, man. I know. What's funny is when I was in shape, you know, I never really was big basketball gear guy because I don't know what to do underneath of it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yep.
Like, I'm not... I just don't know.
I can't...
T-shirt?
You can't go bare chest.
Right. People can. Even when I was like in my best shape I've ever been in, I don't feel like it would have looked great on me.
But I you can't. I wish we still had Dennis to ask him this. You yeah. can't be, even in shape guy can't rock around in basketball jersey with no shirt underneath. It's just weird. Like, how do you do that?
It feels weird. Yeah, it's very attention. It's very look at me. I feel like when you do. It's I mean, it's the same as wearing a wife beater in public. And if you're that guy, you know,
yeah,
leave the corner store and go home. You know, yeah. Fuck, man.
But he brought up a valid point, and I'm gonna have to look into this. I don't know that there's good basketball ball caps.
I was thinking as he was discussing the Lakers hat situation, I was like, you know, man, there was one hat. It was the year we drafted Markelle Fultz, I think in 2018. The year we drafted Markelle Fultz, for some reason it escapes me, a couple years ago, the draft hats, I thought looked fucking sick. Mm. The problem with them, though, was they had this weird, like, shiny finish on them.
Oh.
Which was kind of goofy. I'm like, I'm not the type of person that can fucking pull that off. Like, but I looked into buying one because I still don't think I own, like, a Sixers hat. So I was like, I should. Mm-hmm. And they sold out.
Wow.
In incredibly quick. And I was like, well, okay, there goes that. And I've never bothered since then to go back down and peruse Sixers hats. I just haven't. So I think,
I know what I'm doing.
Right. Now it's research time.
Yep.
You know? Okay, what's out there?
I got Dev's hat on the way. I got to look and see if I can get Sun's hat. I got to be active again.
Yeah.
And I guess before we go, this has been on the horizon all football season. I can't pick a team now because the Browns were on my radar and they've now won a playoff game.
I am so, first of all, fuck Pittsburgh. Mm. Always across the board. But it's so cool to see not just them get their first playoff win, but to see them do it against like the bully of the division to mm-hmm. them. You know what I mean? It's I mean, that them beating, they don't need to. Oh, well, they're not going to go to the Super Bowl. They don't need to. Now they don't need to go to the Super Bowl for another couple of years, whatever. I mean, obviously they would take it if you're a Cleveland fan, but beating Pittsburgh in a playoff game, not only getting your first playoff win since 1994, but doing
Holcomb
it again,
couldn't do it
right against Tommy Maddox. Who tried to kill himself that game. But when you haven't gotten a playoff win in that long and to do it against Pittsburgh of all teams, like, that's your Super Bowl right there.
That's a big win.
That's your Super Bowl.
Baker's your guy. Like,
yep.
Ride him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't pick them now, right? Like, it's way too late. But they were definitely, from the very beginning of the season, like, towards the absolute front.
Yeah, yeah. And I know you kind of, because I know you had flirted with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple I knew that were on your radar. I mean,
it was Cleveland, Los Angeles, because how do you not, mm-hmm. that Chargers gear.
Exactly, Powder Blues.
And I briefly entertained the Jets, but Jets. So, like, Yeah. I can't do that to myself. I'm already a Mets fan. I was going to say,
it makes sense in the sense that you are a Mets fan.
But I don't need that in my life.
Yeah, man. It's like, oh, man. Like, if you're coming into it fresh, what you could do is always, there's no need to rush, man. You know? You don't have to rush into it. It's a long-term commitment, you know?
I think so long as they don't win the Super Bowl, I can choose them this year.
Yeah, it's acceptable.
But if they win the Super Bowl, I can't. Because I've been riding the pine all year.
Yeah. You either commit now and hope they do, and then you can embrace the win.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the key.
But anything short of the Super Bowl is like, okay, now you have green light to, okay, that's where I'm at.
If I hop on now, I can't really celebrate a Super Bowl win if they get it.
No, but the good
thing
is,
I still get
is,
the Super Bowl win, but I can't. Oh, you can totally take credit for it. Face.
If you commit to the Browns, you can throw it in somebody's face. And this is coming from an Eagles fan that just won one a couple years ago and is still paying a just massive price for, you know, whatever the hell we did to piss God off. But no, I think, and it does, the good, the positive of it would be, you get to enjoy a playoff game mm-hmm. with a rooting interest.
Yeah.
That said, they are playing Kansas City.
Oh.
Which is like running into a buzzsaw.
Right now, yeah.
So.
I don't know.
I mean, it's possible, but do you really want to set yourself up for, okay, playoff game, I'm invested. Now just possible potential, right, massive disappointment. Because when they dropped fucking 28 in the first quarter against Pittsburgh last night, it was like, yo, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is awesome. And then Pittsburgh crept back into it a little bit. And you're like, oh, man, Brown's going to Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they pulled it off. I'm happy for him. I just don't, if it ain't us, which it ain't going to be again for a while, give me somebody different, man.
It is just hard to root against that gear. God, I love the Browns gear.
It's so good.
There's very few combinations that don't work for me. There's like a, what is it? It's a brown with like a white without the outline, I think.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I'll pass. The brown pant.
Yeah. I think the key to the Browns gear is you got to go orange pant. I think the orange pant puts it over the top, whether you have the road whites or the home,
yeah.
like the home Browns. I think the orange pant is
that's what
the best
it is.
Look.
They went brown pant and orange jersey with brown numbers, I think.
Yeah, that was when they did like the goofy alternate, like, oh, we're trying to get cute now because we need something else in there. And it's like, yeah.
Don't.
But, right. Like
please.
You have, good, like, even the last couple years when they had before they went back to, like, the look they've got now, the modern whatever, when they had Cleveland across the front,
mm-hmm.
I didn't hate those, like the brown ones. But when you start getting into the oranges and the, you know, like you were saying, the ones that just have the number up there with no outline, the alternates, it's like, oh.
You have something wonderful there. Don't mess with it.
Don't, right. Just please don't complicate things, Cleveland.
So I'll continue thinking about where my allegiance lies with Cleveland. You guys think about subscribing, rating, commenting, but the best way you can help is just sharing.
Yes.
Tell somebody you listen to Gear Freaks Pod. You can also follow us on Twitter at Gear Freaks Pod. Follow us on the Instagram at Gear Freaks Pod.
Mm-hmm.
Please do both.
Yes.
And seriously, we want to talk about your team's gear.
Yes. Get in here.
We were able to put aside our hatred. Now, again, Dennis put us to bed. So, like,
early.
It's
early.
You know, it is what it is.
Right.
But we put aside our hatred for the Lakers,
yeah.
and we talked Lakers gear.
Right.
And we're going to talk Rangers gear. That's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, we would love to chat about your team's gear. So reach out to us. We can make that happen pretty easily. Also, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, you suck. And
we hate you so much.
Los Angeles Extreme, you suck even more. Keep building the list.
Right, right.
And, man, we talked about the Lakers.
Suckers!